Owen felt cold suddenly, as though someone had just walked over his grave. Would he live to see the end of the rebellion he was starting? Would running away from his destiny change anything? Owen shrugged uncomfortably. Honor and belief had brought him this far, and would take him farther. He was a part of the rebellion now, whatever the cost. And Chance had admitted the Esper's predictions were wrong as often as they were right. But even if he'd had solid proof that he would die, Owen still wouldn't change anything he'd done, or had planned to do. He'd seen the rotten underside of the Empire, and how the suffering of the many supported the opulence of the few, and having seen it, he couldn't look away. He had become, something to his surprise, a man of honor. And who knew? Maybe he was a hero, too. Either way, he'd see Lionstone brought down before he died, whatever it took. Hazel Dark watched Owen make his way through the crowd, and clenched her teeth so her mouth wouldn't tremble. She crossed her arms across her chest and hugged herself tightly, her hands squeezed into fists. The need was greater than ever now, and it was beginning to gnaw at her self-control. She was glad Owen was gone. She didn't know how much longer she'd have been able to hide it from him. She looked around her as casually as she could, but no one seemed to be paying her any attention. She made herself uncross her arms and concentrated on keeping her hand steady while she poured herself a fresh glass of wine. And then it was very easy to take out the metal flask the Hayden men had given her, unscrew the cap, and pour just a drop of blood into the wine. She screwed the cap tight on the flask and put it away again. No one had noticed, and if they had, they wouldn't have understood what they were seeing. She was safe. For the moment. She looked down at the wine in her glass. It looked innocent enough, the drop of blood already diffusing into the alcohol. She swirled the wine in the glass to encourage the process, and then she couldn't wait any longer. She took a large gulp and then smiled widely as the warmth of it flooded down into her chest. Blood was potent stuff, and even so small a trace was enough to ease the aching need within her. She made herself drink the rest of the wine slowly, and a warm glow of well-being spread through her. Her grin widened. She felt strong and confident and ready to take on the whole damn empire. More important, she felt human again. Or as human as anyone could be, who was addicted to Wampir blood. The Wampir, the adjusted men, were supposed to be the Empire's new shock troops to replace the rebellious Hayden men. To make a Wampir, you took an ordinary man, killed him by pumping the blood right out of him, and then refilled him with artificial blood, which revived him. The result was much stronger and faster than an ordinary man, and a hell of a lot harder to kill. They were also difficult to control and more trouble than they were worth, so the project was reluctantly discontinued. But by then, some people had discovered another use for the blood. It gave you a better high, a more orgasmic glow, than any other drug known to man. It made you superhuman, like the Wampir, for short periods. And after it wore off, you'd do anything to feel that way again. Hazel had first encountered it on the rebel planet Mistworld. She ended up in a relationship she preferred not to remember with a rogue Wampir called Abbott, and he introduced her to the dark joys of blood. She broke off the relationship, but breaking free from the blood addiction took longer. It almost killed her. She succeeded eventually, perhaps because she wouldn't be anyone's slave, not even her own. But now she was back in its grip again. And it was all Owen's fault. He'd made her a part of the rebellion, and never even noticed as she began to break under the pressure of constant flight and danger, and the high expectations of others. Finally, it all got too much, and she just broke under the weight of it. She'd never been strong. She'd always needed a little something to support her, whether it was booze or drugs or shitty relationships. She thought she'd go crazy on the Wolfling world with nothing to ease her mind, until she remembered that the Hayden men had taken control of the handful of Wampir prisoners the Empire force left behind. The Hayden men had been fascinated by their intended replacements and took them deep into their city for examination. They were never seen again. So Hazel went into the city to see the Hayden men, and bluntly raised the subject of blood. The augmented men were very understanding. They let her have all the blood she wanted, a little at a time, and never once mentioned a price. Hazel had no doubt they eventually would, but for the moment she couldn't bring herself to care, or even question where the blood came from. The blood made the pressure go away, and that was all that mattered. For a while she thought the boost she obtained from Owen might work as a substitute, but it didn't last long enough, and had its own dangers. Typical of Owen. Always let you down when you really needed him. She knew that wasn't true, even as she thought it. But didn't care. She needed someone to blame, apart from herself. For the moment, no one knew about her problem but the Hayden men, who had promised to keep it to themselves. Eventually the truth would come out, but that was the future. And these days it took everything Hazel had just to deal with the present. The meeting finally lurched to a start under the chairmanship of Jack Random. He stood on a small raised stage so everyone could see him, and just started talking loudly and clearly. He might not look very impressive, but his voice cracked like a whip, and he still had the gift of words combined with a natural authority. Voices in the crowd died away to an expectant hush as Random thanked them all for coming, introduced himself and some of the more prominent faces, and then threw open the floor for discussion. And not very surprisingly, the first to raise his voice was Elias Gutman.
"Before we begin, my dear friends, might I take this occasion to point out that the Rebellion's raid on the Tax and Tithe headquarters turned out to be an unmitigated disaster? Because of us, Gorgatha's shields were down when the alien ship arrived, and now everyone blames us for the damage and loss of life it caused. It's going to be even harder now than it was before to gain popular support for our cause."
"That's not fair. We had no way of knowing the alien ship was coming. We did everything we were asked to, at great risk to ourselves, I might add, and achieved everything that was required of us. If you don't think that's good enough, feel free to lead the next attack yourself."
"Right. Look on the bright side. The tax and tithe systems are now a complete mess, and likely to stay that way for years. And we now have billions of new credits in our secret accounts. That money will fund the forthcoming rebellion. Whatever happens next, we made it possible. And don't you forget it, you ungrateful little toad."
"Let's keep the name-calling to a minimum, shall we?"
Random said quickly.
"Otherwise this meeting will never get started, never mind finished. I think we can all agree that the Golgotha mission was a qualified success, in that we achieved the aims we set ourselves. We'll just have to plan things a little more carefully in the future, to allow for unexpected complications. For now, the credits that raid contained are already being used to establish rebel bases and undergrounds on planets throughout the Empire. Those credits will also buy us ships, weapons, and if need be, mercenary armies. I'm sure that must stick in the craw of some of you, but the fact remains that we're going to need an army of trained soldiers to face off against Lionstone's forces. The Hademen have very kindly promised us their full support in the field, but I think we'd all feel happier not being reliant on their goodwill. Don't forget it takes time and expertise to turn fighters into trained soldiers. I know, I've done it before many times. The aliens are an unknown factor. We'll deal with them as and when the situation arises. We have to concentrate on the enemy we know. We're not exactly without weapons of our own. Two Esper clones have come to us as representatives of the Golgotha Underground. They speak for an army of battle-trained Espers and clones, ready to strike at a moment's notice. Investigator Topaz is here to speak for Mistworld. I'm sure I don't need to tell you who she is, or remind you of the rebel planet's strength. They're an army in themselves. If we can just get them all pointed in the same direction..."
There were quite a few muffled chuckles at that. Mistworld's population were well known to spend as much time fighting each other as they did the Empire. But what else would you expect from a planet populated almost exclusively by crooks, rebels, and political subversives? The chuckles died quickly away as Topaz looked icily about her. Random cleared his throat, and Owen noted approvingly that the packed crowd was hanging on Random's every word. His old confidence was returning as he warmed to his task, and he was looking and sounding more like the legendary professional rebel he was supposed to be. His old friend, Alexander Storm, was standing at his side, nodding agreement with everything Random said. There had been much happiness and backslapping when the two old comrades-in-arms got together again, and Storm had stuck close to Random ever since, showing everyone that Random had the tacit support of the Golgotha Underground. Interestingly, Ruby Journey hadn't warmed to Storm at all, for all his charm. Of course, it could just be she was jealous of anyone who drew Random's affection and attention away from her. Owen had to smile at that. He was still having trouble understanding what the hell Ruby and Jack saw in each other, but they seemed happy enough together. Certainly, they were doing better than he was with Hazel. Owen decided firmly that he wasn't going to think about that for the moment. Hopefully, Storm would find some way to strike a truce with Ruby, or he was likely to end up with a knife in his back, or even his front. Ruby Journey could be very direct when it came to expressing her feelings.
"This all sounds very fine," said Elias Gutman, moving forward through the crowd so that he could fix Random with an implacable glare. "But we still haven't discussed exactly who is going to run things in this new rebellion. We've all come here with separate needs and differing agendas, and while we all want the same thing in the end, someone is going to have to decide which path we'll take to get there. My associates and I have been plotting treason and sedition for decades, and we're not about to take a back seat to a few trumped-up newcomers just because they've had a few flashy successes. In particular, we are not willing to be led by an old man whose best days are behind him. You're the past, Random, and we have to look to the future. For all your legend, the fact is you failed to overthrow the Empire time and time again. The new rebellion needs more for its leader than an old man with fading charisma."
Random looked calmly back at the fat man, unmoved by any of the insults.
"Hello, Elias. Good to see you again, too. How are the hemorrhoids? You've been conspiring in the shadows almost as long as I've been leading armies in the field, but I don't see that you've been any more successful than I. For all your great intrigues and grand plans, Lionstone still sits on the Iron Throne. I remember you as a boy, Elias. Whatever happened to you? You had such promise. I remember your father, too. A good and honorable man. It's a good thing he's dead, so he can't see what his son has become."
"Of course he's dead. I killed him. That is the traditional way to wealth and power, after all. The old must always make way for the new. So get down off that platform and make way for a better man."
"Certainly. Know any?"
There were a few chuckles in the crowd, and Gutman's face flushed slightly.
"Clever words won't save you this time, Random. I represent a number of people who have their own ideas as to how this new rebellion should be run. We've invested years of our lives in the struggle for freedom from tyranny, and we're not prepared to waste any more time listening to an old relic with older ideas."
He broke off as Ruby Journey stepped forward to glare down at him.
"You! Behave yourself, or you're out of here!"
"And just how do you intend to remove me?"
Gutman smiled smugly.
"After all, I'm just a hollow image. Your well-known propensity for violence is no use to you here. I have a great deal more to say, and there's nothing you or that old fool can do to stop me."
"Want a bet?"
Ruby produced a small device from her pocket, pointed it at Gutman, and smiled nastily as his hollow image collapsed and disappeared. She scowled out over the crowd, and they stirred uneasily.
"Handy little gadget, this. The Hayden men made it for me. So pay attention, people. Keep a civil tongue in your head if you want to be heard."
"Think of Ruby as my sergeant-at-arms. I'd be very grateful none of you are here in person. Ruby has a very effective way of dealing with people who annoy her, and it takes ages to mop up the blood afterward. Now then, where was I?"
"You were talking about how the new rebellion is to be fought."
David Deathstalker stepped forward with his friend Kit Summerisle at his side. Nobody had been that surprised when they turned up again.
"The answer seems obvious to me. According to you, my ancestor, the original Deathstalker, is back, along with his Dark Void device. So all we have to do is demonstrate its power to prove to Lionstone we have it, and then tell her to step down or we'll use the device on Golgotha. That way there'd be no need for any actual war.
Unfortunately, it's not that simple. Giles, would you explain, please? The original Deathstalker stepped up onto the platform beside Random, and the crowd stirred and murmured as they got their first good look at a man whose legend was even greater than Random's. He was tall but sparsely built, though his bare arms were thick with muscle. He looked to be in his early 50s with a solid, lined face and a silver-gray goatee. His long gray hair was swept back in a mercenary scalp lock, and he wore a set of battered, shapeless furs, held in at the waist by a wide leather belt. He wore thick golden armlets and heavy metal rings on his fingers. A long sword hung down his back in a leather scabbard, and on his hip he bore a large gun of unfamiliar design. All in all, he looked like an experienced and very dangerous barbarian warrior from some frontier world where law and civilization were only memories, and not at all like the legendary warrior prime of the First Empire. The murmuring in the crowd grew louder and didn't entirely stop when he began to speak.
The last time I used the Dark Void device, 1,000 suns were put out in a moment. All their worlds and populations died, cold and alone in the dark. The device is not a weapon you can fine-tune. If I trigger it again in the heart of the Empire, most of the Empire will disappear along with Golgotha.
It got very quiet in the hall. David frowned.
We don't have to actually use it, just threaten to.
Threats work, only if you're prepared to back them up. Lionstone would know we were bluffing. We want to free the Empire, not destroy it. Besides, just threatening to use the device would alienate practically everyone in the Empire. Instead of supporting our rebellion, they'd be screaming for Lionstone to wipe us all out as dangerously insane terrorists. The best we can do is make sure the device stays out of Lionstone's hands. She wouldn't hesitate to use it if she thought she was losing.
There was more murmuring in the crowd, this time of agreement. Giles stepped down off the platform so as not to draw attention away from Random. David scowled after his ancient ancestor.
If we're worrying about what people are going to think, maybe we ought to keep certain people out of the spotlight. If that is the original Deathstalker, he's not going to win any prizes for charisma. People will take one look at him on their holoscreens and think we're a bunch of savages. We have to put ourselves across as a viable, civilized alternative to Lionstone.
Right. It's important we project the right image. Certain people could only damage that image. I should know. As I understand it, Ruby Journey was a paid assassin, and the Dark Woman used to be a clone-legger.
Harold, that's nothing. I used to be a lord.
There's room for all sorts in this rebellion, Summer Isle. Clones, espers, even privileged aristos like us.
At least we're human. What about that thing?
David gestured angrily at the single Hayden Man representative, standing quietly in his corner, saying nothing and observing everything. David's face twisted with disgust and anger.
I can't believe we're even considering an alliance with the Hayden Men. They're machines, not people. How do we know they're not tied in with the rogue AIs on Shub? They'd have a lot in common. After all, they've both been officially named enemies of humanity.
The Hayden Man spoke calmly.
Maybe we should consider an alliance with Shub. We've all seen the reports of the Fury at court. They're willing to fight alongside us against the aliens.
Only someone as inhuman as you would even suggest that. They're opposed to everything that makes us human. They don't want to fight alongside us. They want to rule us and use us as their army.
Right. Shub is going too far. How can we ever trust them? How can we trust the Hayden Men?
Owen studied his cousin David thoughtfully, and Random stepped quickly in before the pause got too long.
Two reasons. Firstly, we can get at the Hayden Men. They're gathered in one city on one planet, and we know where it is. They haven't been awake long. They're vulnerable, and they know it. Secondly, there is a fundamental difference between the augmented men and the rogue AIs. The Hayden Men just want to change us into beings like themselves. Shub wants to destroy us utterly, to wipe us out of existence as though we'd never been. For the moment, we stand to gain more from an alliance with the Hayden Men than we would by fighting them. Try thinking of them as a necessary evil, like dentists.
I'm not convinced. If we have to accept Hayden men, then we'll have no choice but to accept Espers and clones. This is supposed to be a human empire. What's the point in overthrowing Lionstone if it means letting the genetic dregs and freaks have a say in our councils?
We want more than just a say.
Stevie One spoke sharply.
We demand full citizenship for clones and Espers as the price for our support. Otherwise, we'll go our own way, fight our own rebellion, and our war will go on until either you or we are extinct. Right!
Stevie Three held up a clenched fist, around which blue flames crackled menacingly.
Put that out, or I'll turn on the sprinklers.
Stevie Three hesitated, and then the flames went out, and she lowered her hand.
Honestly, you can't take her anywhere. Let's not get distracted, people. If we allow old fears and hatreds to divide us, we're beaten before we begin. What we have in common is more important than what separates us. It is in all our interests to remove Lionstone from the Iron Throne. We can decide exactly what we're going to replace her with afterward. That very discussion will be the beginning of our new democracy.
I'm still worried about the aliens,
said Evangeline Shrek.
They're not just rumors anymore. One ship on its own shot the hell out of Golgotha's main starport. And that's just one unknown species. There are supposed to be two. What if they joined together against humanity? It could be that the aliens are a bigger threat to us than Lionstone could ever be.
Then we'd better get the rebellion over with before they get here. Lionstone's empire is a travesty of what it was meant to be. The dream has become a nightmare. And we're the wake-up call. It's not too late. We can change things if we work together.
Stirring words, said Finley Campbell. But exactly what kind of changes are we talking about here? There's no point in risking all our lives to overthrow Lionstone just to replace her with someone equally bad. The whole system is corrupt. I say we throw it all out and start over. I speak for the Golgotha Underground, and we demand universal suffrage, a parliament that represents all the people, including clones and espers, and a strictly constitutional monarch, and a free pardon for all political prisoners.
And break the power of the families. The new government must disband the clans and seize control of their assets. Bring them all down, and let them work for a living like the rest of us.
Hold everything. What we need to do is put someone saner and more responsible on the throne. Then we can work with that person to introduce sensible democratic reforms as needed. Just because bad people are in charge at the moment doesn't mean it's a bad system.
Yes, it does. It's the system that produces bad people. Jack's right. Tear it all down. Give everyone a chance.
You just want chaos. How can things be run efficiently if no one knows their place?
You just want your old life back. You want to be back in your ivory tower, safe and cosseted and protected from reality by a small army of servants, ready to satisfy your every whim when you snap your fingers. To hell with that, Aristo. If this rebellion's about anything, it's about giving everyone a chance at the good life.
And equal rights for clones and espers. New market possibilities.
And a chance for some good looting and pillaging.
Let's not get distracted again. First, we get Lionstone off the throne, then we can argue about what we're going to replace her with. The overall purpose of this rebellion is to create a unified empire that can turn its resources against the coming aliens, instead of pissing them away fighting each other. We can set about political debate once we've ensured there will be a future to discuss it in. Now let's move on, please. We still have to settle the question of financial backing for the rebellion. Armed conflicts cost money, lots of it. Our raids on the Golgotha tax headquarters has netted us billions of credits, carefully laundered and scattered through thousands of secret accounts, but all that will do is get us started, which is why some of you are invited here today. Please make yourselves known, gentlemen.
About time you got around to us.
There was a satisfied smile on Gregor Shrek's face.
Political rhetoric is all very well, but it won't buy you guns. It's people like me who'll decide whether this rebellion gets off the ground. I am ready to offer the full, if covert, support of my clan in return for future concessions.
What kind of future concessions? Owen eyed Gregor suspiciously.
That's what we're here to discuss.
I thought you and your people were in bed with the established church these days.
I am, officially. But they're not proving the ally I'd hoped for. They're far too fond of giving orders, and their restrictions on my private life are becoming offensively impertinent. I hope for greater rewards from the rebellion. And I am, after all, following in my dear daughter's footsteps. How is life in the underground, Evie dear? You never write.
Very pleasant, Father. I'm much happier now there's so much less pressure in my life.
But you'd be so much more happy if you were to come home again. Back with your dear father's love. Your friends miss you, too. Remember, dear little Penny, the two of you were so close before she ended up in Silo 9. Unfortunately, she wasn't as careful at keeping secrets as you were. You tried to rescue her and failed, but I got her out. I have connections, you see, people who can get me what I want. Now Penny lives with me and loves me as you used to. Come home, Evie. Without your support, I don't know how much longer I can protect Penny. You wouldn't want anything to happen to her, would you?
Leave her alone!
Finley stepped forward to put himself between Evangeline and her father.
I know what you're trying to do. You want to force Evie to come home so you can split us up. I know you mistreated her. Evie won't talk about it, but I know you hurt her. So you leave her alone, you bastard, or I'll kill you. The rebellion can get by without the support of scum like you.
Can it? I think you'll find your superiors in the underground will feel rather differently about it. What's one person against a clan's fortune? And I will have my Evie back. If that turns out to be over your dead body, Campbell, so much the better.
You're a dead man, Shrek.
Put your dog on a leash, Evie, or I'll have him muzzled. Remember, the rebellion needs me.
I would have to agree. We're gathered here to discuss the future of humanity, not your personal problems. Sort that out on your own time. But Finley, the cause comes first. Always. Remember that.
Don't lecture me. I have sworn a death oath to bring Lionstone down. Sworn upon my name and my honor. I'll fight, and if need be, die for the cause. But sooner or later, there will come a time when the rebellion no longer needs the Shrek's support. And then I'll kill him.
You'll always need me. Weren't you listening? Overthrowing Lionstone is just the first step. The real struggle for power and influence will take place after that. There's always a need for people like me. And who knows? Just maybe the price of my future support will be Evie's return and your head on a spike.
In your dreams, little man.
Shut the hell up, both of you. Play dominance games on your own time. The longer this meeting continues, the more likely it is the Empire will discover us. Now, does anyone else want to speak in support of the cause?
I offer the support of Clan Deathstalker.
David smiled coldly at Owen.
I am the Lord of Viramont, and its resources can be placed at the Rebellion's disposal. We're a long way out from the center. It'll be some time before they notice anything.
Viramont's only yours till I come to take it back. Don't make yourself too comfortable, David. You aren't going to be there long.
You have no right to anything there, whatever happens to the Rebellion. I'm the Deathstalker now, and you're nobody. I will defend what's mine against all enemies.
I wouldn't be too sure about that. As I recall, the Lordship of Viramond is part of the price on my head. All someone has to do is kill me, and Lionstone will make him Lord of Viramond. Your standing's built on sand, David, and the tide's coming in.
If the Rebellion wants the continuous food and supplies my planet can provide, they will acknowledge me as the rightful Lord, now and hereafter. No one individual is greater than the cause. Right, Random?
Yes. I'm sorry, Owen.
David smiled smugly at Owen.
All traces of your brief reign have been removed. Soon, no one will remember you were ever Lord. It isn't as though you made much of an impact on the place, hidden away in your standing, writing histories no one ever read. I, on the other hand, have great plans for Viramond. I'll make the name Deathstalker great again.